Welcome to Threads Through the Cross. This artwork presents key moments in the life of Jesus Christ as recorded in the Bible. This work is the second part of a three-part series created by textile artist Jackie Parkinson. The complete work took Jackie 10 years and an estimated 25 million stitches. Jackie has used repaired bedsheets as the foundation fabric for all the panels in this exhibition. These ordinary, everyday sheets become something more as the original repairs are kept, but then covered in colourful dyes and rich silks. For her, the sheets represent life. The rips and tears in our own lives are precious. As we look at Threads Through the Cross, we see the rips and tears in the life of Jesus. His precious wounds are wounds that bring hope of restoration and eternal life. Jackie loves the stained glass windows in cathedrals. They use brightly coloured pieces of glass, caught between the dark lead lines, to tell the biblical stories. In the same way, she uses her brightly coloured silks, caught between black lines, to tell the same story. It is the love story of the Creator God sending Jesus to earth to show what it is to be fully man and fully God. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is central to that love story and to our lives. All but one of the panels have words from the Bible stitched into them. These words never overpower the panel design, but rather weave in gently.
Touching guide for the visually impaired. At certain points, the visually impaired viewer is invited to touch the panels. Please respect that this privilege is granted only to those who are less able to appreciate the panels visually, as the panels will not withstand being touched repeatedly. Hands must be dry and free from any dirt or grease. This audio commentary will indicate when this is permitted and guide you to a part of the panel that may be enjoyed with the hands. Each panel also has an inset picture of a bird. The artist wanted to make something fun for children to notice and ponder. You may find this helpful as a way to talk with children about the panels.
Cross, Panel 1. This panel has the title, He Shall Be Called Jesus.
God sent the angel Gabriel to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words, but the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, selected verses.
In this first panel, the central space is taken up with the angel Gabriel above, Mary in the centre, and the Lamb at the foot of the panel. The angel is announcing to Mary that she will give birth to a son. This scene is shown together with the fulfilment of that promise. The angel's words to Mary are stitched into the panel. Call his name Jesus. He will be great. Mary is holding the newborn Jesus. The humanity of Jesus, God become man, is the anchor of the Christian faith. Mary's wavy orange hair is deliberately the same as that of Eve in the artist's earlier Threads Through Creation series, because Mary is the new Eve. the lamb at the feet of Mary, represents Jesus as the sacrificial lamb who will give his own life to bring life to all. At the sides of the panel, we see the golden spiral, a motif used by the artist to represent God's presence and action in all things. The gold colour of the spirals is imitation gold leaf, while the gold of Gabriel's wings is real gold leaf laid unevenly into the silk as a device to add glimmers of glory.
The goldfinch. The goldfinch is a traditional representation of Mary. The bird has a gold line across its wing and a strip of red on its head, gold for Jesus' kingship and red for the gift of his life blood.
Cross, panels 2 and 3. Here we have two panels side by side showing scenes from the birth of Jesus. On the left, the shepherds are visited by a mass of angels, and on the right, we see the wise men, or magi, who came to pay homage to Christ. Notice the symmetry between the panels, with the nighttime sky filling the upper section and figures in the lower section against green fields. On the left, panel 2 has the title, Do Not Be Afraid.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the heavenly heights, and peace to all men and women on earth who please him. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 14.
On the right, panel 3 has the title, Follow the Star.
The Magi went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 9 to 11.
The angels are worked in curved lines, which allows them to flow together and fill the space harmoniously. By contrast, the stars are bold, straight lines casting their light abroad. Aluminium leaf has been used with silk to create this effect. The shepherds are in plain brown-red tunics. The wise men are in richly brocaded fabrics in bright colours. The artist used a free-motion sewing machine to create the dense diamonds on the green robe and the flowing stitches on the purple robe. All the faces look upwards. The shepherds are in disarray, hair flowing chaotically as they stand transfixed by the angels. The wise men are reaching up in worship and wonder, glad of direction and obedient to where the star leads. On panel 2, the words of the angels reads, Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. On panel 3, the words are those of the wise men. We saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him. Jesus' birth is good news for everyone, whether they are disregarded ones, such as the shepherds, or the people with status and power, like the wise men. Both the shepherds and wise men respond by bringing their gifts to Jesus. The wise men bring their caskets of gold, myrrh, and frankincense as symbols of royalty, wealth, and prayer. The shepherd carries a lamb on his shoulder. This lamb will be given to Jesus, hinting at Jesus' own sacrifice to come.
The goose and the owl. The goose in panel 2 represents light on this dark night. We can imagine geese hooting loudly when they notice unexpected intruders. Meanwhile, the owl in panel 3 signifies wisdom, as well as being a bird that sees exceptionally well in the dark. Touching guide for the visually impaired. In the horizontal midline, at the left-hand edge of panel 3, showing the wise men, we have several different textures of fabric close together. Use your hand to sense the different textures. The silver star is worked in aluminium leaf, boldly standing out from the wispy and ultra-thin silver shadow behind it. Moving further down, the bright blue headdress of the wise man is densely stitched in a diamond pattern over quilted silk, making the fabric feel thick and rich.
Cross, panels 4 and 5. Here we have another double panel with several echoes back to the Threads Through Creation series. Back in the Garden of Eden, the artist represented the Tree of Life with its red fruit and the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil with purple fruit. The mirrored design of these two panels shows Jesus responding to the same choice that faced Adam and Eve. Jesus could choose his own way or God's way. The left-hand panel portrays Jesus' baptism, and on the right we see his temptation in the wilderness. On the left, panel 4 has the title, My Son Jesus, Whom I Love.
Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11.
In being baptized, Jesus is expressing his obedience to God, who responds with the affirming words, You are my Son, whom I love. While waters give us life, they are also a symbol for death. Jesus is willing to go through death to be perfectly obedient to God's will. The dove signifies God's Spirit resting on Jesus. We see Jesus reaching for the fruit of the tree of life so that he can give us all the gift of life and forgiveness. At the bottom of panel 4, the fishes are just for fun, says the artist. They seem to dance and rejoice in this moment. Panel 5 on the right has the title, If You Are the Son of God.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3.
Immediately after his baptism, Jesus enters the wilderness to be tempted by the Satan, represented here as a snake. Satan encourages Jesus to choose his own way to achieve power and glory. Satan twists God's words to cast doubt, saying, If you're the Son of God? Jesus resists. He says no to the words of the snake. He doesn't grasp the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Instead, he chooses to listen to his father.
The Kingfisher and the Blackbird. The kingfisher, good at catching fish, is also a symbol of new beginnings. Baptism was the start of Jesus' ministry of healing and teaching, and showing the way to live God's life to the full. The blackbird is traditionally associated with temptations and desire.
Cross, panel 6. Panel title: My Son Jesus, Listen to Him.
Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. A bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 to 5.
Jesus stands shining in a white tunic at the top of a mountain. The skies radiate in circles from the sun. This is the artist's way of suggesting the presence of God. His disciples are looking up at him in amazement, astonished at the change in the person they thought they knew. Jesus' robe is stitched in a bright white metallic silk to capture his gleaming body. His face is glowing with a bronze hue. Even the golden threads in his hair add brilliance. He stands at the junction of land and sky, of heaven and earth. The disciples also see two figures either side of Jesus, Moses on one side and Elijah on the other. These are men from the history of the Hebrew nation. Moses is holding the Ten Commandments inscribed on stone tablets. Elijah represents the prophecies written on a scroll. For these figures to appear either side of Jesus indicates that Jesus is the one who will always live by God's command to love, and he will fulfill all of God's prophecies. The stitched words tell us what the disciples heard God say. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him."
The swan. In the well-known children's story of the Ugly Duckling, an unattractive cygnet transforms into a brilliant white swan, revealing his true nature.
Cross, panels 7 and 8. On the left, the scene is Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Children shout praise and wave branches of palm trees in celebration, as they would for a king. On the right, another entrance. Jesus is entering the Jerusalem temple. There he speaks with royal authority to reclaim the temple as God's house of prayer. Panel 7 has the title, Hosanna, Jesus is Lord.
They brought the donkey and colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven." Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 7 to 9.
The rich purple of Jesus' cloak suggests royalty, but he rides a simple donkey, not an impressive horse or chariot. Jesus' fingers are raised in a gesture of peace. The gold leaf halo indicates his divine nature, since he is more than an earthly king. The kingdom he is establishing will unite heaven and earth in peace. We see strips of colour on the ground because the crowd laid down their cloaks for his donkey to walk on. This was a sign of honouring Jesus, a recognition of his kingship. The stitched words say the words of the crowd, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
The woodpecker. When the woodpecker drums against a tree, it can be heard over a long distance. Perhaps some of the crowd drummed out their praises to announce the arrival of Jesus.
Panel 8 has the title, "My House is a House of Prayer."
Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Jesus continued, "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise?'" Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, selected from verses 12 to 16.
Jesus is in the temple. He is turning over tables and opening the wooden crates that hold doves and pigeons. Seeing the merchants selling doves for ceremonial sacrifices and exploiting the poor, Jesus is sad. Instead, he wants prayer and true worship in the house of God. Coins scatter in all directions, and one merchant tries to gather up a few. Instead of offering his casket to Jesus, as the wise man did, he fills his bowl for himself. The doves, symbol of the Holy Spirit, hover around Jesus. The artist says, "Sometimes Jesus turns over the tables in our lives, our ways of doing things, to transform us and make us more like him. Such transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit, if we will allow the Spirit freedom in our lives." The stitching carries Jesus' words, "My house is a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves."
The pigeon. Pigeons or doves were used in the ceremonial sacrifices in the Jewish temple. When Mary and Joseph made an offering in the temple after Jesus' birth, they would have offered a pigeon or a turtle dove, as we read in Luke chapter 2. Touching guide for the visually impaired. In panel 8, the temple scene, coins spill in all directions. Just to the right of the panel center, silver coins spill from an upturned table. There are also silver coins falling to the ground along the bottom edge of the panel. The coins are worked in silver circles of aluminium leaf. Why not feel the edges of the coins to sense how the artist has made them stand out from the silks behind?
Cross, panels 9 and 10. Here is another double panel showing two scenes of foot washing. Foot washing was usually performed by servants in a culture where dusty roads meant dirty feet needed freshening up on arrival. On the left, an unnamed woman washes the feet of Jesus, and on the right, Jesus kneels to wash the feet of Peter. Jesus is both the servant who washes feet and the one who is served. Panel 9 has the title, "You Will Be Remembered."
A woman in that town, who lived a sinful life, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. And Jesus said, "You can be sure that wherever in the whole world that the message is preached, what she just did is going to be talked about admiringly." Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 9.
Panel 10 on the right has the title, "Do as I have done."
Jesus poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 5 to 8.
Both these scenes take place in small rooms. These are intimate moments. In panel 9, Jesus is at a party for important religious men. A woman arrives, uninvited. She chooses to kneel, to wash Jesus' feet in perfume, and to wipe his feet with her long hair. This is extravagance on her part, and also very daring. She scandalizes the people in the room with the intimacy of her actions. But she knows with Jesus that she is safe and accepted. She looks reverently at him. Jesus receives her action as an anointing. Her act of service and love will never be forgotten. We see in the stitches the words of Jesus about her. "She has done a beautiful thing to me. What she has done will be told in memory of her." In panel 10, the scene is the final meal that Jesus shared with his disciples. In humility, Jesus kneels before Peter. Jesus chooses to be the servant washing his disciples' feet. He is no longer wearing the purple outer garment, but only a simple tunic. But Peter stands stubborn and resistant with arms crossed. We can read his words stitched at the top of the panel. "You're not going to wash my feet ever." And Jesus' response, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And then his instruction to all his followers, "What I've done, you do."
The macaw and the cockerel. The macaw is bright, bold, and loud. He flies away to tell of the woman's beautiful and enduring act. The woman had to be bold. In being accepted and forgiven by Jesus, she could fly free. On the right, the cockerel anticipates the betrayal of Peter later that same evening. Jesus had predicted, "This very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times."
Cross, panel 11. This panel has the title, "Do This to Remember Me." The scene of this panel is the last meal Jesus shared with his disciples, now known by Christians as the Last Supper.
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 26 to 28.
The disciples are gathered to celebrate the traditional Jewish meal of Passover. The Passover meal celebrates the exodus of the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. Jesus wants his disciples to understand that his death will bring about a new exodus from slavery to Satan into the freedom of the kingdom of God. But as Jesus holds the bread and the wine, he doesn't say the traditional Passover words. Instead, he announces that the bread is his body, which will be broken and killed. His words are quite shocking. We read them in the stitches. "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink this. This is my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." We see Jesus dressed in white and purple, standing in the panel centre with the cup and the bread. The figure on the bottom left, with a darker tunic, is Judas, who plans to betray Jesus. Judas receives the bread too. Jesus still offers him a choice, but Judas averts his gaze from Jesus. Look closely, and you can see where the artist has had to rework and correct some of the lines. She found that once enlarged from her template, the faces were out of proportion. So she unpicked and worked again many of the facial profiles. She doesn't mind that her mistakes are visible, and we can see her making another attempt. "You can see the flaws in my life," she says. "It's fine to see our flaws. They are part of who we are." The candlestick is a reference to the Jewish menorah, lit with the light of God's presence and kept continually burning in the Jerusalem temple.
The cuckoo. Some cuckoos place their eggs in the nests of other birds. The cuckoo chick hatches first, and often pushes the other eggs or chicks out of the nest. Judas was close to Jesus, but he chose to betray him. Touching guide for the visually impaired. Just below the center point of the panel is a plate with a loaf of bread. The bread has been broken apart, and three crumbs lie on the plate. An oval of silver aluminium leaf gives the smooth, shiny texture of the plate, while the bread is made from lightweight, pale brown fabric outlined in black thread. You may be able to feel the stitched outline of the bread and the three crumbs. Moving to the right and lower down, in the right-hand lower quadrant, a gold candlestick is worked in real gold leaf. The seven-branched candlestick has red and yellow flames dancing in different directions.
Cross, panel 12. This panel shows the garden where Jesus prays before his arrest. The panel title is, "Your Will Be Done."
Then Jesus said to his three disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 38 and 39.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knows his death is coming. He doesn't want to suffer. Yet he knows that his death will take away the power that Adam and Eve gave to Satan. His death will bring an end to all death. This means accepting the cup of suffering. The moon hangs large in the night sky. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, have fallen asleep, even though Jesus had asked them to stay awake and pray with him. In the foreground, Jesus in white is greeted by Judas. Judas moves close to kiss Jesus, not in love, but as an act of betrayal. As Jesus meets Judas's gaze, I wonder what Judas saw there. The ominous spearheads of the approaching soldiers are coming in from either side of the panel. They plan to arrest Jesus and put him to death. The shadows of the bare trees fall like bars down the panel, giving a sense of the impending arrest and capture. The ground is covered in a design of thorns. When Adam and Eve left Eden, God told Adam he would have to toil in sweat to work the thorny land outside of Eden. Here the thorns in the garden emphasize Jesus' own toil. He sweats blood and feels all the world's pain. The stitched words read, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will."
The blackbird. The North American winged blackbird has a flash of red on its wings. The red is a symbol of the approaching danger.
Cross, panel 13. The panel title is "Today You Will Be With Me in Paradise."
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, selected from verses 33 to 46.
The cross of Christ stands prominently at the centre of this panel, appearing almost to come out of the frame towards the viewer. This event has significance for the whole world, for all time. Most of the panel is worked in muted greys and blacks, even the figure of Christ, except for his halo of glory and the horizontal line of the red sunset behind him. Our eye is drawn again and again to Christ. All creation waits in silent darkness. There is the trembling of an earthquake. Gradually we notice the robbers crucified to his right and to his left. Above each is a tree and its fruit, reminding us of the two trees in the Garden of Eden. Even now, in death, the robbers have a choice to yield their will to God or to resist. One robber calls out to Jesus for help. We can read Jesus' reply in the stitched words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The other robber, mocking Jesus, makes the opposite choice. The snake, the bringer of death, now lies defeated at the feet of Jesus. The nails that hold Jesus to the cross are made from bright gold leaf, with red silk blood droplets. The nails are stark and deadly, but also beautiful. God's glory will shine through this dark hour yet.
The robin. The robin's red breast carries, it is said, a drop of blood from Christ's wounds. So here, the robin represents the divine sacrifice.
Cross, panel 14. The panel title is "There Are No Words." Grief expresses itself in silence and in stillness. Here we see Mary holding the dead body of her son Jesus. Her eyes are wide in sadness. Just as his body was pierced by a spear, so her heart has been pierced with grief. The artist says, although the Bible doesn't describe Mary holding the body of Jesus, there is a strong tradition in art for representing her in this way. I included this panel because we all experience grief. Death was not intended by God, and yet God understands our grief. The Bible texts for this panel are words of comfort from Psalm 22 and Psalm 139, assuring us that God knows our pains and our sorrows.
For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of his afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you.
The images in this panel mirror those of the first panel of this series. To achieve this, the artist worked this panel at the same time as the earlier scene announcing the birth of Jesus. Behind Mary, we see the silver moon and the stars of night. The three tree trunks, symbolic of the three crosses in the previous panel, stand bare against the sky. The green background is worked with thorns and thistles, similar to those of the garden scene in panel 12. A path winds down from the central cross to the feet of Mary, where we see a bound and slain lamb. The lamb is a symbol of Jesus, giving his life as a sacrifice to bring life to the world. This is a hint of hope that the death of Jesus was not in vain. The absence of words in this panel emphasizes how we fall silent in grief. There are no words. The artist says, all of us who grieve the death of someone we love or who mourn the loss of a child share with Mary the deepest sorrow.
The magpie. The solitary magpie is black and white, colours associated with mourning in many cultures. There is also a well-known nursery rhyme which has the words, one for sorrow, two for joy. Touching guide for the visually impaired. The panel has three long shadows cast from the trees in the top section of the picture. The shadow effect is created with a nearly transparent gauze silk overlaying the main picture. Into the shadow are stitched several vertical lines of running stitch. The stitches almost appear like tears running down the panel. Run your fingers or the back of your hand gently down the lines of tears and across the shadow. Feel the torrent of grief across the picture.
Cross, panels 15, 16 and 17. These panels are displayed together. They are all scenes after Jesus has come back to life. They are bursting with colour and energy after the stillness of the previous panel. On the left-hand side, panel 15 has the title, He is not here, He is risen.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 to 7.
Again creation trembles and the earth quakes. An angel stands with shining gold wings to announce over the empty tomb that Jesus is not here, he is risen. The dark centre of the tomb is small in scale compared to the brilliance of the angel and the glory around him. There is no body for the women to anoint. The angel sends them on their way with the message, Jesus is risen from the dead.
The peacock. Early Christians adopted the peacock as a symbol of immortality, because each year the peacock sheds its feathers and new ones grow to take their place. Its joyful colours stand out from the earthy tones behind.
Panel 16 in the centre shows Jesus with Peter. It has the title, Do You Love Me?
When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Then he said to him, follow me. Gospel of John, chapter 21, selected verses.
We are down at the shore of Lake Galilee. Peter and his friends have gone back to fishing after the death of Jesus. The risen Jesus is the figure in white, asking his friend and disciple, Peter, do you love me? Peter is full of sadness that he had denied knowing Jesus at the time of his arrest, not once but three times. Now Jesus offers him another chance to express his love and to follow him. Jesus gives Peter the responsibility to care for God's people. Peter understands that he is fallible, but also forgiven and loved.
The heron. Herons are clever at catching fish. They are focused and attentive. They're quick too. When they strike to catch a fish, they rarely miss.
Panel 17 on the right has the title, I am with you always.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, and John chapter 21, verse 16.
Here we have another mountain, reminding us of the earlier mountaintop experience seen in panel 6. This scene is the Ascension, the resurrected Jesus going back to his Father. As before, Jesus is in white, displaying divine glory. This time his body bears the scars from his crucifixion. He reassures his disciples with the words, "I am with you always, to the end of the age." And Jesus gives his disciples a job to do, to make more disciples and to baptize them. After saying this, Jesus is taken up into heaven.
The lark. The lark ascending is one of nature's wonders. Unlike most other birds that sing only when they are sitting on the branch of a tree, the lark sings during flight. The lark typically flies higher and higher while still singing, until out of sight. But the call remains.
Cross, panel 18. Panel 18 has the title, "You Will Receive Power."
It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 17. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4.
This panel is dominated by the figure of Christ in the centre. Only his upper body is given shape. Flowing from his torso is a stream of flames descending down the centre of the panel. Around the risen Christ are rainbow-coloured circles signifying God's presence and power. The scene is the appearance of the Holy Spirit, symbolized with flames of fire. This fire is holy. It doesn't burn up and destroy. Rather, it cleanses and purifies. Jesus had told his disciples to wait for the Spirit to come and empower them. Jesus' hands are stretched out towards his disciples, and they reach towards him. The flames of the Spirit connect them in a dynamic flow. We can recognize Peter, James, and John as the three disciples in the lower center. The real gold leaf of the flames adds brilliance and glory. This is a gift for all, for anyone who says yes to God. The artist has also included Mary, Jesus' mother. She stands at the bottom right-hand corner and beckons us to join the crowd. She had been filled with the Holy Spirit in a unique way at the conception of Jesus. And now she's filled afresh, along with the other followers of Jesus. The stitched words are those of Jesus before he ascended to heaven. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses.
The Phoenix. On the right-hand edge, the white phoenix displays its magnificent tail feathers. The phoenix is a bird associated with rebirth, coming up from the ashes.
And here the phoenix captures the splendour of the new age which has started, now that the Holy Spirit is given on earth.
This audio guide was written by Francis Harris and Jackie Parkinson. The readers were Francis Harris and Jeremy Witten Spriggs. Audio production was by Ian Trill.